Get started. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit, may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Our Lady Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
So if in the back you can't hear me, raise your hand, so I'll try to yell at you today. Okay? So ending the talk on confession and moving on the talk on Mary, one of the things that the devil does is he fills us with fear, a paralyzing fear. And he turns a molehill into a mountain. That's the way he works, trying to prevent us from going to confession. It ever happened that you decided to go to confession and then you procrastinated, you put it off? Ever happen?
Yes.
In my family, my mom and my dad, who passed away, have 9 children, and the first was boy, 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 girl, and her name is Victoria. Yeah. So when Victoria was a teenager, she went through a period of rebellion back in the 70s. Remember that?
Yes.
And she didn't want to go to confession. And my mom is a real trooper. When my mom wants something, she gets it done. So she was praying for Vicky, insisting, and my sister said, no, I don't want to go to confession. That's not for me. So my mom prayed and offered up sacrifices, and after about 8 months, one day, my sister Vicky said, I will go to confession, but under one condition. I don't want to go face to face. Because we knew the pastor. So my mom said, no problem, just go behind the screen. So the fatal day arrived. The day of reckoning, my sister hid behind the screen. It was like this. She said, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. My last confession was 8 months ago. The priest did this. Oh, hi, Vicky. So from that moment on, my sister never had any problems. No? The devil wanted to block graces. So the last point I'd like to make on mercy is the promise that Jesus gives to those who make a confession, especially in these days. You make a really good confession in these days, and then on Divine Mercy Sunday, which is the Sunday after Easter, when you go to Mass, you participate in Mass fully, actively, and consciously, as Vatican II says, and you receive Holy Communion, And you receive one of the greatest graces that Jesus offers to us. That means not only are your sins forgiven, but all of the temporal punishment due to your sin is washed clean. And you're being born again. Your soul becomes white as snow. And if you were to pass away, you'd go right to heaven. You like that? So remember that. And try to tell you, I would even talk to your children and grandchildren that are maybe rebellious. Tell them about that. Maybe that will bring them back. Because I know all of you are suffering because of your children and your grandchildren have probably walked away from the church. But there's always hope. There's always hope. Okay, this topic is one of my favorite topics. I'd like to talk about the Blessed Virgin Mary. But I'd like to talk specifically about Mary and the virtue of purity. Mary and the virtue of purity or chastity. In 1917, during the First World War, and during the time of the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, in a little town in Portugal named Fatima, Mary appeared. And she appeared to three little children. They were Jacinta, Francisco, and Lucia. Shepherd children. Okay, she appeared on the 13th, from May 13th up until October 13th. Okay, after these apparitions, the last apparition was the apparition of the sun that was spinning around, and according to the Portuguese newspaper, close to 70,000 people actually witnessed this. Between 70,000 and 80,000. All right. I'm sure most of you have heard of Our Lady Fatima. Probably many of you do not know the subsequent conversation that Mary had with Jacinta. Jacinta got sick shortly after the apparition, within a year and a half, and she ended up in a hospital in Lisbon. And a lady revealed these messages to Jacinta. This is related to our topic. First, she said that priests have to be very pure and they have to dedicate themselves only to what refers to the salvation of souls. She said that. Pray for priests. You see what's going on in the church. So pray for priests. Because you people, you're at the mercy of priests. If I can use that word, no? Yes. You depend upon your priests. Yes. So yesterday in our parish, we had a big number of people praying for priests. You should have that in all parishes. Prayer and fasting for priests. Sure, we have our limitations, and priests fall and bishops fall. We have our limitations. But I think we have to pray more. And maybe accuse less and pray more. What do you think? Yeah. As well as fasting. Prayer and fasting. Okay, then Mary said this. She said that Many marriages are not good. Can you hear me in the back?
Yes.
Okay, good. I want to make sure that you hear. Many marriages are not good. This is 101 years ago. Okay, it's gotten much worse. Right? Many marriages are not good. Many marriages are dominated by the spirit of lust. They are. Then she said this. There will be introduced into the world fashions that will gravely offend God. Gravely offend God. That means the importance of the virtue of modesty. I believe in beauty. Women should be beautiful, but they should be modest, right? They should never be provocative. Modesty, catechism teaches, is the guardian of purity. That's a catechism of the Catholic Church. You want to live a life of purity, you have to strive to live modestly. In the way you dress, the way you talk, the way you sit, the way you walk, and the best example is the Blessed Virgin Mary, right? Mary is our model in everything. Okay, the third thing Mary said to Jacinta, and it's a topic that we don't like to hear. When she appeared on July 13th, 1917, Mary appeared to the three children and she opened up her hands and there was a chasm, an abyss. And they could see a lake of fire. Maybe some of you have read this. Maybe you've seen YouTubes on this. This is probably the most famous approved Marian apparition last century. Century before would be Lourdes, right? 1858, and then a later Guadalupe, 1531. The children saw the souls were descending into hell like leaves falling off trees in autumn. And she could see the souls floating around without equilibrium. Some were bronze, some were transparent, some were brown, some were black, transpierced by these ugly animals that were actually the devils. They heard a cry, cries of despair, so horrific that the children said that they would actually die if the Blessed Mother were not there. But that from that moment on, the children were converted. So Mary said then and later on to Jacinta is that most souls are lost for all eternity because of the sins of impurity. We all have to struggle for this very demanding virtue. One of the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, chapter 8, is, blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. I repeat, blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. Okay, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which I'm quoting constantly, says this. The virtue of chastity is a virtue that demands a daily mastery. That's the Catechism of the Catholic Church. In other words, it's a virtue that we have to keep struggling to attain until we arrive at heaven. Now, purity is not simply that refers only to the sexual. It's purity of eyes, that we see things with the eyes of Mary. It's purity of ears. We listen to things that are pleasing to God. It's purity of speech. Like Mary, we open up our lips to praise God. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. It's purity of heart. Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's purity of body, that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, as St. Paul says to the Corinthians. Purity also of intention, that as St. Paul says, whether you eat or drink, do all to the honor and glory of God. Okay, the number from the Diary of St. Faustina that illustrates this point most is this. Faustina was praying very fervently. If you ever want to learn how to pray well, read the Diary of St. Faustina. It's a model. It's a model for prayer, the whole book. As she's praying, Jesus appears to her. And what he does is he takes a sash, a golden sash, and he places it around her waist. And from that moment on, Faustina was given the grace of perfect chastity. Of mind, of memory, of understanding, of affections, of emotions, of heart, of body, of soul. But she said this. She had been begging the Blessed Virgin Mary for this for a long, long time. Here you have a saint who never lost her baptismal innocence. Here's a saint that dies at 33 years old. Here's a saint, if you've ever read the diary, she's going through the dark night of the soul when she's 19 years old. The dark night of the soul of John the Cross. When she's 19, 20 years old. In other words, here's a saint who's lived a very good life. But to arrive at that degree of a high, high level of holiness and purity, Jesus gave it to her, but she was begging the Blessed Virgin Mary. If you read the lives of saints, you're going to meet many occasions where they have to conquer. They have to conquer the flesh so that they are filled with the Spirit. Second example. There was a young man who wanted to become a priest, and his parents opposed him. So he left his home. This is in Italy in the 13th century. When he was running away from his home, his brothers caught up to him and they imprisoned him. And they wanted to get this idea of the priesthood out of his mind, so they threw a prostitute in his cell. It was a cold day, and he got a poker, iron brand, and he went right for the face of the lady. She disappeared. And he took that poker and he branded on the wall, the cross. Then the angels came and gave him the grace of perpetual perfect chastity. The name of that man was Thomas Aquinas. So he had to overcome the test. There was a young man, he was about 19 or 20, very holy. He was in his bed, sick, terrible temptations. And he implored the Blessed Mother to help him. The temptation seemed to get worse. And he saw at the foot of his bed these devils that were attacking him. And he prayed fervently to the Blessed Mother, and then the devils disappeared, and Mary appeared and gave him the grace, perfect chastity. The name of that man was Saint Anthony Mary Claret, the founder of the Claretians. So I could tell you story upon story upon story how these saints, they had these real struggles. You read in the life of Saint Athanasius. Saint Athanasius wrote the life of Saint Anthony of the Desert. Saint Anthony of the Desert, the founder of Eastern monasticism, was in the desert and he had temptations against his virtue for a year. After the year transpired, Jesus came. And Anthony said, Lord, where were you during these temptations? Jesus said, in the very depths of your heart. He had never given in. So I'd like to give you a program on how we can live out a life of holiness and purity by our consecration to Mary. First thing I would suggest is that all of you wear the brown scapular. You hear me?
Yes.
If you've taken it off, for the love of God, wear the scapular again. Wear it, okay? My mom made this scapular, okay? Strong, okay? In my scapular, I have the Saint Benedict medal. You've heard of that?
Yes.
And I have the Miraculous medal. So I always have the scapular, the Miraculous medal, Saint Benedict, and have my rosary in my pocket. I'm always walking with Mary. Wearing the scapular, it's not a superstition. But by wearing the scapular, you're saying that you belong to Mary. Amen?
Yes.
You belong to Mary. And look at the symbolism. You've got the scapular, which is over your heart and over your shoulder. The word scapular comes from Latin scapula, which means shoulder. That's what it means, from the Latin. So it's over your heart, and it's over your shoulder. So this is a symbolic gesture. Mary is embracing you. Do you like that?
Yes.
I love it. I love it. So you're wearing the scapular. And then, When you wake up in the morning, kiss the scapular. The church gives an indulgence every time you kiss the scapular. Do you know that?
No.
The church gives an indulgence, a partial indulgence every time you kiss the scapular. This is my private practice. As soon as I get up in the morning, I say my act of consecration to Mary. First thing I do, right away I say, O Signora mia, Madre mia, yo me ofrezco de todo ti, en prebende mi fili al afecto, te consagro en este día, mis ojos, mis oídos, mi lengua, mi corazón, en una palabra todo mi ser, ya que soy todo tuyo, Madre bondad, guárdame, defiéndeme como cosa posesión tuya, amén. I haven't learned in English yet, so I say it in Spanish. I'm losing my English, no? My dad said, you're the only one I know who got a degree from English literature from Villanova, and then you stop speaking English. Then what I do is I kiss the scapular. Then I do this. I bless my forehead. I bless my eyes. I bless my lips. I bless my tongue. I do that 3 times because I talk a lot. And those non-stop speakers, you know those types, huh? And then I bless my heart. So I'm ready. And it's not a superstition. I'm basically saying, Mary, I belong to you. I'm an oblate of the Virgin Mary. Oblate means I belong to Mary. And then the second practice I would like invite all of you to do is to get in the habit of praying the rosary. Do you know today by 10:30 this morning, I already prayed 4 rosaries. And I'm probably busier than you are. And I'm not finished. They say Padre Pio prayed 100 a day. I doubt that, but he prayed a lot. He was always praying the rosary of Padre Pio. My friends, I love the rosary. Do any of you love the rosary?
Yes.
I love the rosary. Love the rosary. Yeah, so I'm going to prove to you the power of the rosary by a story. And if we're struggling with any virtue, and it might be patience, purity, anger, lack of forgiveness, I really believe the Blessed Mother is going to help you to conquer that. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Okay. One of my favorite documents of John Paul II, I've read most of his writings, John Paul II, was one he published in 2002 after the attack in New York City. He wrote a document which is called, you can Google it in BVMR, The Blessed Virgin Mary and the Rosary. It's one of my favorites. Now in this, John Paul II introduces the Luminous Mysteries. Do you like the Luminous Mysteries?
Yes.
I love the Luminous Mysteries.
Yes.
Love the Luminous Mysteries. In that document, which is one of the easier documents, some of the documents, Fides Ratio and Sociologus Res, some of those documents are pretty heady, JP2. This one is easy reading. And he mentions some of the greatest devotees of the Rosary. He mentions Padre Pio. He mentions Kolbe. He mentions Saint Therese. He mentions, I'm sure you heard of Saint Louis de Montfort, right?
Yes.
He mentions Saint Louis de Montfort. But he mentions, the person that he mentions most, I'm almost sure 90% of you people have never heard of your life. Bartolo Longo. Bartolo Longo. Okay, listen to this. Bartolo Longo was a Neapolitan that was born about 110 years ago from a good Catholic family. He went to law school. When he was in law school, as has happened in the United States, many of our young people are losing their faith in the colleges today, right?
Yes.
Probably happened to your kids, no? Well, this happened 70 years ago. And his faith became weaker and weaker, and he met up with a group of Satanists. Okay, he met up with a group of Satanists, those who were consecrated to Lucifer. So he became more and more involved, to the point that maybe you don't know this. I'm a Catholic priest, but there are satanic priests. Did you know that? The Church of Satan was set up in San Francisco by Anton LaVey about 70 years ago. San Francisco, that's where the Church of Satan was actually started. So he got so much involved, his whole life was dedicated to the practice of Satanism. Something happened. One of his professors was a Dominican priest, heard about Bartolo, and he decided to pray the rosary, to fast, and to offer a penance for him. Bartolo had an inspiration to go to confession, which he did do. But when he came out of the confessional, there was a battle. There was a voice he heard that said, "You belong to me. You belong to my work. You're consecrated a priest of Satan. You can't get out of it." And he heard another voice that said, "You want to be saved? Pray the rosary. You want to be saved? Pray the rosary. Want to be saved? Pray and propagate the rosary." So he had this battle, and he decided to reject the powers of evil, and he started to pray the rosary. And he started to spread the rosary. And he started to set up societies, confraternities of the rosary. And he spoke with a bishop there in, if you've ever been to Italy, you have what's called Pompeii, okay, which is in Naples. He asked the bishop if they could place a beautiful picture of Our Lady of the Rosary, and the bishop gave permission. If you go there now, see the beautiful painting of Saint Catherine of Siena, Saint Dominic, Our Lady of the Rosary, and those two saints, two of the greatest Marian saints in the Catholic Church, Saint Catherine of Siena and Saint Dominic, are there. And there you have Our Lady of the Rosary. And the church was built, and that now is the most famous Marian sanctuary in the world. It's not the biggest, but the most famous. And Pope John Paul II went there several times. Pope Benedict went there several times. Pope Francis went there at least once. Bartolo Longo died, and John Paul II beatified him. Now his name is Blessed Bartolo Longo, who went from a priest of Satan to a Catholic saint. So I will never, never, never get tired of trying to promote the rosary. In our struggle against evil, we have to go to the Blessed Mother. The Blessed Mother, she's going to give us many virtues. But Mary wants to give you purity. Mary wants you to have pure eyes. Mary wants you to have a pure mind. Mary wants your conversation to be pure. Mary wants you to have a pure body, because this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Mary wants you to have a pure heart. Mary wants that more than you. Okay, the most famous convert in the world, obviously, is St. Paul. And the second most famous convert is St. Augustine. The most famous convert in England would be Cardinal Newman, the Oxford movement. One of the most famous converts today was a teacher of my baby sister who went to Steubenville, and his name is Scott Hahn. Okay?
Amen.
Heard of Scott Hahn? No, great speaker. One of his talks that I listened to is related to this topic. He says that when, you know, he was a Presbyterian as well as his wife, okay? Then he's converted, but this happened. Scott Hahn is a prolific reader and writer, traveler, preacher, teacher. He said when he was still a Protestant, he would go to bookstores to check out the books and buy them. And he said that he could never resist the temptation to go to the corner to look at the pornographic magazines. He said in one of his talks. It was like an irresistible pull. It was like a magnet that was pulling him toward what he knew, even as a Protestant, he knew that wasn't good. But he couldn't resist. Jesus says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So every time he'd go, buy the books, but check out the diet magazines. This would be probably 40 years ago. When you didn't have the internet the way it is today. But listen to this. Someone gave him a rosary. Someone gave him a rosary. And he didn't know how to pray it, but he tried to pray it the best he could. He prayed it once. Not even understanding the whole dynamic of the mysteries and the meditation and the days you pray the rosaries. He said this. After he prayed that one rosary, he no longer desired to look at those bad magazines.
Praise God. Amen.
It was one rosary. So the power of the rosary. Get in the habit of loving the rosary. Praying the rosary. Spreading the rosary. Giving yourself to the rosary. And the rosary is so pleasing to God. So pleasing to God. Well, John Paul II said in that document, the rosary is this. We want to contemplate the face of Jesus through the eyes and heart of Mary. Okay, my final suggestion is this. I encourage all of you, if you want to live a life of holiness, to consecrate yourself to the Blessed Mother. Now, I know what a lot of you are thinking. Well, I already did that, Father. I did my first consecration in 1976. And after that, I wanted to become a priest. So I attribute my priesthood to the Blessed Mother. It's interesting though, when I was just born, a day old, my mom was looking at me, and I went like this. She said, he's going to be a priest. And she consecrated to me Our Lady of Reparatrix in Detroit, which doesn't exist anymore, but a lady offering up a reparation for the sins of the world. So I invite all of you to consecrate yourself to the Blessed Mother. There are many different types. The young man who is actually my spiritual director, I was his spiritual director, Michael Gately. Now he's a very well-known priest today. He has an excellent program of consecration. 33 days to Morning Glory. Okay. Also, there's Colby's consecration, which is through the Immaculata. The most well-known is True Devotion to Mary by St. Louis Grignon Montfort. But also there's a very somewhat unknown consecration to Mary which someone else wrote. Okay? He happens to be looking at you right now. Okay? So, I'm going to invite all of you, okay, the four Thursdays in May at St. Peter Chanel, we're going to have a consecration program to the Blessed Mother. I'm going to invite all of you to come. It's going to be starting at 7 o'clock. We have Mass at 6:15. We'll have in the old church building. We want to invite all of you to come. Because I really believe that consecrating ourselves through the intercession of Mary, through the rosary, is one of the most efficacious means for all of us to arrive at holiness. Amen?
Amen.
So we're here to get to heaven.
Yes.
Right? We're here to get to heaven. Mary is the quickest, easiest, shortest pathway to heaven.
Amen.
She's the shortcut. And if you love Mary, you love Jesus. You love Jesus, you love God the Father. So let you close with a story in honor of Mary. Invite Mary into your life. Our founder has a saying in Latin, Maria cogita, Maria invoca. Think about Mary, invoke Mary. And this is a story. St. Peter was taking a walk with Jesus in heaven. And as they were walking, Peter had the keys. Jesus recognized that there's a man there in the heavenly gardens that shouldn't be there. He turns to Peter and says, Peter, why did you let that guy in? Peter said, I never saw that guy. Jesus said, be a little bit more careful. They're walking another 100 yards and they bump into another guy who's worse than the first guy. And Jesus upbraids Peter and said, Peter, why are you letting these guys in? They don't have their passport, huh? Peter says, I never saw the guy. So they're walking a little bit more, and they bump into a guy that's even worse than the first two guys. Jesus says, Peter, Peter, Peter. And Peter turns to Jesus and says, you know what happens, Lord? Every time I close the gate, your mother opens up the window. So, my friends, I really hope that you have a great love for Mary. You wear your scapular, you call upon Mary, you pray the rosary, you consecrate yourself to Mary, and Mary will lead you to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
What a blessing. Amen.
Amen.
Give them another big